Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we hope you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody, I'm so glad that you're here with me on the podcast today. I've got my new friend, Laura Hackett Park, who's with me today. Laura, thanks so much for taking the time to share your story with us.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Absolutely. I've loved your music for years with IHOP, as I'm sure many folks have. And somebody was on Facebook the other day, and they shared with me, you know, your song, You Must Be an Artist, or I think you just call it Artist. And I was like, all right, this is the time. I'm going to call her up and or email her up and ask for an interview. And I'm so glad that this worked out. So tell everybody what your life looks like right now, because, you know, everybody sees you on stage, but you're a mom and a wife and all, lots of stuff that you're juggling right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, right now, I led at IHOP for like 15, 16 years. I sang, I was on different teams, or I was an associate, and I led my own team. So I've been full-time there, but then last year when I was pregnant with my son, I stepped down last mid-April. Wow. And I've been on my husband's team, and I lead a Sunday set, the Sunday 2 p.m. It's like not as many people are there, and I like it that way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But it's been a lot slower as far as leading worship at IHOP the last year, because I had I have two children. I have a three-year-old and then a nine-month-old now.
And awesome. So you're not busy at all with that, right?
I know. It's great. Everything's amazing. I'm in the littles zone, you know. I just fed the kids lunch and changed diapers.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's my world. But I'm also, we do a lot of songwriting here. That's really who I feel like who I am on the inside, who I've always been, a songwriter. And so that's how I process life and talk to God. And the house of prayer has always been such a gift, because it's like spontaneous songwriting, basically.
Yeah, sure.
With the Lord and with a group of people, and like a singing Bible study. But the last year I've just been getting into really writing again. And so we host songwriting camps. We have a little community of songwriters that we're kind of building up, and we're working on getting some stuff out. But so Artist was actually a song from a songwriting camp.
Oh, cool.
So that's what we do. I do a lot of songwriting, and then we do about like maybe a ministry trip once a month or every other month, which is actually a lot with the family.
But, oh, heck yeah. Yeah.
But it's less than I used to do.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. I tell people all the time, you got to know the season that you're in, right? And the things that you used to do, maybe they're not for right now, but it doesn't make that bad or this good. It just is where you are. And I love that you're intentionally writing out of that season too, because I think, to me, the best worship songs, or any song, are the songs that come out of our journey. So what a gift to be able to do that. My son is, we're kind of on the other end of that. He's 15, about to get his Eagle Scout. And I told somebody the other day, I said, yeah, the fumes have got him. They said the fumes. I said, yeah, the car fume and the perfume. I said, that's what he's liking girls. He's liking cars and skateboards and video games and all that. So we're on the opposite end, but it's all good. And it's all the Lord. I think to be able to find the beauty of the kingdom, wherever we are in the middle of that, you know, because isn't it so easy just to, I don't know, to put one season of life or one way of doing life on a pedestal, as opposed to being able to be in the now, because the now is where the Lord is, right?
Absolutely. But I think that's where, as artists, we have like a gift where we like exercise that muscle to tap into emotion, and emotion a lot of times helps pull you into the moment, you know,
that
feeling realm or whatever, an expression, I think, is a added gift as being an artist, you know, like.
Absolutely.
Tapping into that and enjoying what's around and trying to find expression for what's happening. You know? So.
Absolutely. Now, was that normal for you growing up? I know a lot of artists grow up in artistic, creative homes. Some are like, no, my parents are accountants. So what was that like for you?
You know, my parents are not songwriters, but they're both very, like, I don't know, I would say gentle, kind people. It was a real safe environment for me. And so I really, you know, able as a young child to explore and feel. And we talked a lot. I have two sisters. There's three girls. So we did lots of talking.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, yeah, I pretty much started writing when I was like 7 or 8. Let's see, when I started writing my first songs, it was like I first realized that like music and singing and words was like a, you know, powerful way to connect. So,
wow.
Oh, my internet's saying it's unstable. Is it breaking up?
No, it's pretty good. Yeah, we're pretty good.
All right. You just let me know.
Yeah, I know for me, I started playing keys when I was playing piano when I was 5. My mother always hated when I said keyboard. She said, it's piano, darling. I was like, well, you know, she was a very traditional church choir director. So I grew up playing, you know, like that for years. And then I found like, you know, Ray Charles and the blues and jazz and all that. I'm like, whoa, this is great. I want to do something else. But yeah. That's so wonderful. Has keyboard always been your primary instrument, or do you play other instruments too? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not going to admit other instruments that I tinker around on.
Yeah, I'm like that too. I've tried or played around with mandolin a little bit in front of the things, but I'm like, I'm not ready to call them an instrument that I play yet.
Yeah, yeah. I play piano and I sing, yeah. And I went to school, university, and got a degree in music theory, whatever, 10 years. I graduated 10 years ago, so.
Wow.
Or maybe like 12 years ago now.
Yeah. Time flies.
No, I'm like, wait, how old am I?
That's right. So now, were you leading, was worship a part of your musical expression growing up in high school, college, that sort of thing? Or did you come to the whole worship genre as far as writing music and doing that later on? Or
yeah, you know, I mean, my parents had me in piano lessons early on and some voice lessons like in grade school. And then we moved to Kansas City and my dad became a part of Mike Bickle's church. And right at that time, it was before the House of Prayer started, the community was talking a lot about singing the Bible. And so I picked that up, you know, at 12 and 13. Yeah. And so before IHOP started, it was just like, you just open up your Bible and sing it, you know? And so that's really how it started for me, is like sit down at the piano. And I didn't even know I was playing chords. I just played what sounded good to me, you know?
Yeah.
Up until that point, I was in more like classical training where it was like reading notes and playing songs. And so it kind of, for me, songwriting and all that came from a place of like, oh, this is how you can talk to God.
Yeah.
But then I ended up getting more formal training out of that. But IHOP started when I was 14 or 15. And then I didn't really care. It was like, cool, whatever. Yeah, it's great. You know, I'm getting out of here. I was into the girly fumes, you know, whatever. I mean, I just like boys, wanted to play sports, hang out.
Yeah, sure.
And then the Lord just really like reached for me around 16.
Mm.
It was just a real, I don't even know how to describe it other than that. It's like he just reached out and found me. And so then I started wanting to spend my time at the House of Prayer at 16. And that's kind of when I started to get involved at the House of Prayer. So.
I remember when the House of Prayer, all that started to happen. I had grown up in a very traditional denomination, leading worship in the mid-80s, early 90s. So this is when, like, you know, Hosanna, Maranatha, all that. I mean, that was like Don Moen was the hot thing, you know. And I remember I was leading worship at a church in Atlanta, and our pastor was good friends with Mike Bickle. We're like, who is this? And we started having, you know, Joanne McFadden or Julie Meyer, all the Monty Poe. You remember that name?
Oh yes.
All these guys from the back in the day, and
me and how I sing the Bible.
Oh yeah, and I remember I was coming out of a real traditional church into the charismatic movement. And I was like, I got totally wrecked. I mean, it was like this whole new impartation of intimacy with the Lord and singing scripture. And I think I've still got some of those early notebooks that they would just make the plastic binding and all that sort of thing of apostolic scriptures, you know. And
yes.
I got all that stuff. So I totally relate to that. Because I think, I don't know, for me, and I can hear it in your music and just in what you carry as a worship leader, when you encounter his presence like that in such a deep way, it radically transforms how you approach everything in creativity. And I know for me, it was to this point where I can't go back and do the things that I used to do the way I used to do them. I've been radically transformed, and I'm so thankful for that ministry and all that God continues to do through yeah. IHOP. But there's a deposit, right? There's a change that happens.
Yeah. It's like a seed went out and it's spread now. It's morphed, it's changed, but like it really is like a seed that got like scattered on the wind.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, so much of worship has really changed. But I will say too that I think the Vineyard movement as well, like Catherine Scott and those, some of those, I can't remember what those CDs were.
Oh yeah. I was in the Methodist church leading worship, and then I went, somebody told me to go to Brownsville to the revival. They said, Matt, you sound just like this guy, Lyndall Cooley, when you lead worship. I'm like, who is this? We have a spring revival and a fall revival. They're like, oh no, you don't even understand. They're like, go down there and get in this. And I heard, speaking of the Vineyard, I heard Rita Springer.
Yes.
For the first time.
I mean, I just grew up on these CDs.
Yes.
So I would say.
And great keyboardists too, right? Terry yeah. Butler, all those guys.
So I will say that like, as much as we were forging kind of a new thing, singing the Bible, whatever, Joanne, Julie, Mike, we were also being really impacted by Vineyard yeah. revivals and Toronto. And
yeah. All of that was such a rich, rich time. So
I know it really was. Now being on the other side of it, you realize like, wow, that was so special. And I feel like, man, I've been asking God, I really believe he's stirring up something new again. But I'm asking him to, you know, to, because I mean, it was like I got laid hold of. I was 16, you know, 15, whatever, and it marked the course of my life. I would have lived a lot differently, you know.
Yeah.
And I just think about this next generation now, like, Lord, what is it? Raise up the voices that will be That's heard. Right. I really believe it's God's divine artistry that he's awakening.
That's right. I was so excited to hear this song. I want to talk a little bit about this just in a purposed way, your song Artist, because I know in 2000, when I heard Ray Hughes for the first time and then Don Potter and all these guys that have kind of been fathers in my life in yeah. worship, begin to talk about the creative nature of God in the late 90s, early 2000s, and that sort of thing. God began to birth that in me. And I know in 2009, I kind of had a marked time with the Lord. He called me out of a dream to be a father to artists, to go to the nations and raise up an army of artists to reveal his glory.
Wow, we got chills.
I mean, it's like, wow, you know,
I haven't heard anyone say that before.
I know. So it was this major, major thing. But my theology began to shift because I began to really like dive deep on God, what does this mean to raise up an army of artists that's going to reveal your glory? And what does it even mean that the first way that you reveal yourself to humanity was as an artist? Like, how does that change my view of the Bible, of the biblical yeah. narrative, of the kingdom yeah. now? Yeah. So I'm hearing some of those, that echo in you. And so I was just really interested to talk to you about that whole process and what your thought pattern is around that. Well, hey, there's Matt. And you know, one of the things that I found over the years in working with artists is that real lasting change in our life happens best in the context of supportive Christian community. And that's why I wanted to take this opportunity just to take a second and invite you to be a part of my online community called the Thriving Christian Artists Facebook group. Listen, this group is absolutely free and over the years has actually grown to thousands and thousands of artists in just about every creative medium from countries all over the world. You know, the cool thing is that it's become a real place of encouragement and life for artists just like you and me who want to share their work, share their life, connect with other artists, and really pursue everything God has for us as artists in his kingdom. Now listen, to join, all you have to do is just click the link in the show notes here and answer a couple of questions just to let us know that you're a real person, and bam, you're in, okay? So listen, I can't wait to connect with you inside of my Thriving Christian Artists Facebook group. Do it now, and we'll see you there very soon. All right, bye.
Well, you know, I mean, it's been like, it's forming, and I'm 34 now. I feel like I'm really in like a searching season where I'm really wanting to search the word for me and not just take somebody else's word for things, you know? So that's part of the season that I'm in my life and wanting to own things. And in the midst of that, I feel like I'm, like you said, I'm reading the Bible and it's like, there's an artist behind this. I mean, just find so many things. There's a love of extravagant artistry. and also a treasuring of human emotional expression by God. Like, yeah. You know, and it's just like, it's so clearly in the word that honestly, that's the phrase that just started to come out of me. It's like, oh, you must be an artist.
Right, right.
You know? Like, and I think, you know, right now there's a little bit of a divide in society in some ways between an older generation and a younger artist generation that is just all feeling and explosive and looking for personal individual expression. And then there's like a little bit of an older generation that's like looking to explain and help find frameworks for things and whatever. And I feel like for God, they're all woven together, you know. Right. When you put his artistry up there with his divine attributes and nature, and you know, when you have artist in there with healer and all that, it actually start to make more sense, and you know, you find their place more. And so I started, honestly, it was back when I was leading my team, we were started singing Psalm 19, and every Monday we would sing it. And we would just go through the passage and sing our hearts out. And we started to just realize that in the word, and especially in Psalm 19, it just talks about his divine creation and the extravagance of the sky and how it changes even every moment. And yet it's displaying something about him. And that just started to stir the conversation. But then honestly, that awakened me to talk to the Lord about beauty, because I feel like beauty is so exploited by the world. You know, women are exploited, art is exploited, and there's really almost like a second class citizenship in some ways that we treat artists in some ways like, well, you're not really doing anything of value, you know. And so I just started to think about that and the exploitation of beauty. And then I heard so clearly in my spirit the Lord say, I don't exploit beauty, I enjoy beauty. Surround myself with beauty, and
right, that is necessary for our journey, right? I mean,
that, like, so then it was like, whoa, okay, so you're not exploiting it, you're enjoying it, you're surrounding yourself with beauty, it must be important, you
know? Yeah,
and
that's so important, I think, for all of us that have come out of a traditional-esque sort of evangelical worldview of kind of give me 3 points in the truth, brother, you know, sort of thing, and kind of reduce a relationship with Jesus to these rules to be kept or just a list of to-dos and that sort of thing. I think that was one of the enduring things that I'll always carry from Mike Bickle, is just this absolute enamorness, you know, with the presence and the beauty and the holiness of God, and that's enough in itself. But then that we might be vehicles of that as artists to, I call them intersection points, that the art that I create as a visual artist, the art that you create as a musician, they literally become intersection points where the Holy Spirit can meet and touch and transform, not in spite of our art, but through our art. I think that's an incredible opportunity.
Because like creative power, I mean, there's one universe with creative power, but those of us that have the Holy Spirit are literally can tap into creative power with him.
Yeah.
And because I always like to think about the distinction too. It's like the enemy, he can't create. He can just distort what's already created. You
right.
know? But like when we tap into the source, you know, the one who is creative power, like we actually get to create with him. And I really believe that that's part of what the joining of God and man is, you know, is so that we would function and create with him and whatever. So.
Yeah, I totally believe that. I mean, I think over the years have come to believe that, I mean, I wrote a book about this, creativity according to the kingdom, but I really believe that the essence of the kingdom is creativity, that creativity is not just something that we do as kingdom people, but it's how the kingdom works, because that we're designed to see and agree with heaven in whatever, you know, circle of influence that he's called us in. You're a musician, I'm a visual artist, I write a book, I speak, whatever it is, but we become conduits for him, and that creative display, that creative interaction is how the kingdom gets released. And I don't know, for the other thing that really changed on an interpersonal level, I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on this. When I started seeing God as an artist, my fundamental belief about myself changed. I went from kind of began this traditional, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, you know, this kind of old, I'm a worm kind of thing, to, yeah, you know, no, I'm a son. I'm God's beloved, that he's designed me with a purpose. Cause I'm like, I'm an artist and I design things on purpose. I have a vision in my mind for what I want this to be. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy the journey as it develops. How much more is, yeah, God doing that through me, and what freedom is released in that? I mean, has, yeah, talk about that a little bit, I guess.
Well, honestly, I wrote this song, you know, with a couple of my friends. I kind of brought this idea of like beauty and exploitation. And so we wrote this song about God's artistry and how it, you know, like calls us to worship and breaks boxes. And then I probably wept for like a couple of weeks every time I put the song on. I just like, I didn't even know how much I had kind of judged myself as well. And like, so yeah. I'm almost like in the midst of that right now,
yeah, you know,
trying to not find identity in things that aren't real and trying to find identity in like what is real, you know, but something that I felt was so healing for me personally is that God enjoys my artistry and that, like he's surrounding himself with beauty. So he wants people like me to express, and he wants to take it in and enjoy. And I feel like in a day and age where artistry is so like flooding the market, there's just so many people in music and visual and what, there's just so much happening that it's almost like it's hard to take anybody in, and it's hard to feel like anybody really sees. And especially in the music business right now. And I felt like God was literally like washing me of like, that like, I need people to validate me, and really validating me, you know, and being like, no, you are an artist. And I, not only do I appreciate about this about you, but it's what I've designed, like you said.
Yeah.
And to like walk, to step into it and like own it and be like, yeah, this is me. And like, even if only a couple thousand people hear the song, like it's worth the time, the energy and the money that it would take to do.
Right. What defines me? Their likes or, or yeah, my, I mean, I think the Lord told me years ago is like, it's not that, it's not what you create, it's that you create. I mean, yeah, it's like just being in that process with me validates your identity, you know, that just by you doing that is, yeah, bringing glory to me. Now, whatever I choose to do with that is on him, right? He's the fruit bearer. I'm just the one that gets to cooperate in the, yeah, process, but
the
just,
yeah,
I love that.
And that's something, the little motto that my husband and I have been living by the last few years is we're just going to stay fruitful. And like, we're not going to call bad fruit good. We're not going to like call no fruit good. We're not, you know, like we're called to bear fruit in Christ. If, yeah, we have the Holy Spirit in us, then we're going to show the fruit of his Spirit, but also like in our lives, like, and so that's been our little motto that we want to live by. And like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so. Now, this may be a really deep question, and you may have not even had a chance to even think about this sort of thing, but I'm thinking, you know, your kids are how old now, you said?
3 and 9 months.
So how do you begin to communicate who God is differently, knowing that he's an artist? How do you introduce them to the person of Jesus, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, knowing?
I've been like asking God, help me introduce you to my kids. I want them to be your friend.
Yeah.
I also know that God is so kind. He really hears our weak prayers of parents. And you know, my parents really prayed for me, and I was like not really caring about stuff. And then God reached, I mean, I felt like he reached through the Bible at me, you know, like leapt off the page and like was like, you belong to me, you know? So I'm praying that for my own kids. I feel like for sure this season in my life is affecting how I see life, how I see people. Yeah. I don't feel as quick to judge. I don't know. I feel like I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like God. I want to be slow to speak and quick to listen.
Yeah.
And I want to take people's expression for what they're offering and not box them in. And I want the truth. I feel like too, at the same time, when you start to see the fruit of beauty in someone's life, then you don't want to call bad fruit good. You don't want to call something that isn't beautiful beautiful. Yeah. You know?
I know, for me,
well, when that's great. It's like, it's not great. That's terrible. You absolutely. Know?
Well, I was going to say, I found myself on this journey, and the Lord had, you know, he's always checking us with these things. I would have much more grace with my artwork of going through the ugly phase or going through the awkward phase than I would with people in my life.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, now come on, as an artist, you know, we know that we are, everything that we create goes through that ugly stage, and we can't just trash it. You know, we push through, we let it rest. We, you know, all sorts of things that we go through in the creative process. And again, I think the Lord just uses that beautiful process as such a mirror for my own life of, listen, are you going to treat people in your life, you know, better or worse, or, you know, than you do your own creative expression? It's a challenge.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's good. It's stuff.
Vulnerable. So vulnerable.
I know it. Well, I'm so glad you're on this journey. And, you know, your song, I haven't looked at the YouTube things. I don't know how you even measure distribution in the music world, but I know that in our community, among thousands of artists that I'm talking to, it's really becoming a theme song. And I want to just thank you for all of them and for all of our podcast listeners for writing this and really giving language to all of our hearts to say, thank you, Jesus. You are an artist, God. You must be an artist. It really is the cry of so many. And just what an incredible, the one of many, many, many that you've written, but it's one that really rang true for me. So Laura, where can people get a hold of you if they want to hear more of your music? Or, you know, are you guys still doing like events, come lead worship at an event, things like that? Or
yeah, I mean, you can get on my website, laurahackettpark.com.
Awesome.
And there's connections for everything. And honestly, just today we're talking about me doing like a little, like kind of like Zoom thing, like living room chats, maybe once a month or something.
Sweet.
Because I have a lot in my heart too, like that it's like, oh, I want to find some outlets to talk about some of this stuff. And, you know, so.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of deposit in you, so get it out any way you can. So,
well, I'm trying to stay fruitful.
That's right. Well, hey, thanks so much. And for all of you that listen to the podcast, make sure that you go to Laura's website and check out her music, buy it, download it, share it, do all the things that you're supposed to do, and to support everything that she and her husband Jonas are doing. So thanks again, Laura, for being on the podcast today. Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.